Funding for this podcast comes from MathWorks, creators of MATLAB and Simulink software, accelerating the pace of engineering and science. Learn more at MathWorks.com.
This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.
And I'm Meghna Chakrabarty. A middle school teacher's controversial decision to provoke discussion in the classroom about popular media.
That's what Sarah Jordan was trying to do. The seventh grade teacher from Westboro showed a brief video clip to her class of this song, Superman, by Eminem. Come be in Jay's world. I want to grow
together. Let's let our love unfurl. Eminem is known for his sexually explicit lyrics, and the Superman video shows the rapper and a woman undressing and getting into bed together. The clip that teacher Sarah Jordan showed her students was edited. It included no nudity and no sound, so the students didn't hear the lyrics.
But apparently they didn't have to. At least one student told his or her parents about it, and before you could say parental involvement, the school suspended Sarah Jordan. The local police started an investigation into charges of disseminating obscene material to a child under 14.
Police have since dropped their investigation, but Sarah Jordan has quit, and she's here to talk about it and her decision to show the video in the first place.
Listeners, what do you think? Was she wrong, or was this a case of an overprotective community overreaching? When is it okay to show middle school kids controversial material in the classroom? When is it not? You can join the conversation. Give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. You can also find us on Twitter and Facebook. There's also a conversation online undergoing right now at radioboston.org. And joining us in the studio is Sarah Jordan. She taught seventh grade at the Gibbons Middle School in Westboro. And Sarah, thanks so much for coming in.
I'm really glad to be here.
Well, this created quite a firestorm in Westboro. Tell us what happened, what you were trying to teach the kids by showing them this clip, and tell us exactly what they saw.
Well, everything has a context.
Absolutely.
And, of course, I've been teaching these children since September, and I'm a reading teacher. So we read text. To read, you have to have a text. And we had just come off a really heavy-duty nonfiction unit, how to read and get information and then use the information. And at the end of the year, I don't do this every year, mm-hmm. but this was a particularly interesting seventh grade. And so I said, let's do media studies. We started off with Jean Kilburn's Killing Us Softly, looking at media images of women in advertising. And then the PBS special Raising Cain, so that boys had a fair shake at also understanding that we are shaped by messages in subtle, subtle ways. And my walls were just plastered with ads. At that point, I'd been asking my students right on the board, what videos you're watching. And it was quite the list. We had Teo Cruz, Lupe Fiasco, Shakira, Kesha, Jessie J, Lady Gaga. It was a really interesting list. And I had a college intern at that point, and we would preview them and then line them up. Eminem I originally did not want to do. It's out there. But at the same time, this is what the children are watching. Mm-hmm. And I could fit it into a segment, starting with Teo Cruz, who's very formulaic. It's his song Dynamite, and The girls are dressed in bikinis and they have power tools. It's and they don't do a whole lot.
Yeah,
he's the only male available. And we went from there in talking about how hip hop and rap often limit the roles that we can show in public. And we watched part of this Eminem,
the Superman song.
The Superman,
which I want to say one thing just for our listeners who might not know this. Superman is an extremely sexually explicit song. The video, very, very sexually suggestive. People taking off their clothes, getting into bed together. They didn't actually see all of that, right?
No, there was a lot of digital erasing.
Okay.
Going on.
So they got sort of the sense of what was going on without sort of seeing it, the explicit
details. Oh, yes,
details.
They got the sense.
Okay, fine.
Even with the editing, it was a risk.
Mm-hmm.
And the parent who went to the police thought I had shown the explicit version.
Right.
And in defense of my district, and in defense of this parent, actually, he had the wrong information. Had I thought, as a parent, if I had thought this had happened, I also would be very upset. But I know I would go to my school first, the teacher, the principal, the superintendent. There is a protocol you follow if you're upset with a school. The school had no option but to ask me to leave because this is a criminal investigation.
That's right. Yeah.
I support that decision 100%.
So since then, my understanding is the police have dropped the investigation.
Yes.
And you have decided to quit.
I became controversial, and it was more about me than it was about what I was teaching. Mm. Mm. So I asked my superintendent, and I did resign.
Now, well, I want to talk to you a little about that, but were you surprised by this reaction? Because, you know, we followed this story on the Westboro Patch, an online news site, and it got picked up by the Boston Herald, hugely controversial. Were you surprised by this sort of firestorm of a reaction?
I was. Mm. I was surprised to find reporters on my lawn at 9 o'clock at night and the phone calls. I was surprised when it began because I didn't have a warning from the parent. I can understand, certainly, the news itself, explicit video in a classroom, I can understand that taking off. Teachers are often held to a much higher standard than other professions. So, yes, I was surprised.
Well, we looked at a lot of the response online. Actually, I want to bring another person into the conversation, Mary Jo Kurtz. She's the editor of the Westboro Patch, that online news service that we mentioned. And she did a lot of reporting on this. And Mary Jo, thanks for joining us.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
So you've been listening here, and of course you know the story better than anyone. Give us a sense of what kind of reaction the story has provoked. From what I saw on the patch, it looked like most of the response from Westboro was very much in favor of, in support of Sarah Jordan.
That's what we found as well. As soon as the story broke, and we really, I think Sarah's right on that. Everybody followed what they had to do in a situation like this. When you have a report that a teacher is placed on administrative leave, you really have to follow that story. So we did follow that story and post it. Immediately, the reaction was very much in favor of this teacher. Parents had had her in the past. They were very happy with her. And that was basically the response we got. We did have some response saying, before we all jump to too many conclusions, we don't want to make the parent who said their son was uncomfortable, we don't want to put that parent in a position where they don't feel they can speak up. You don't want to stifle a parent whose child says he's uncomfortable. So you can see both sides of this, but overwhelmingly people were supporting the teacher. Mm.
Now, Mary Jo, and actually, Sarah, you can chime in on this too. The story to me and the response would suggest that Westboro, one of those communities where there's a lot of parental involvement in the local schools, which is a good thing 99% of the time. Is this a case where, Sarah, in your view, that folks were just too quick to sort of jump to conclusions?
Well, first of all, I agree. The parents in Westboro are very involved, and they are so fundamental to how we run our schools. We have the wonderful parent groups. You should know three parents did complain. Mm-hmm. So this parent's not alone. There was one who was upset with the Lady Gaga video because it was Judas, and he's a very Christian family. Then another parent, and I didn't follow protocol. I didn't get permission to show Easy A, which is PG-13. And I should have. So there was one parent who was upset that I hadn't followed protocol, and that parent should be upset. But this parent who went directly to the police, I don't think that's indicative of Westboro at all. Mm. At all. Mm. Because
I agree.
Yeah, say more about that, Mary Jo.
Well, I think that's really where the story blew up, in that a parent didn't go directly to the teacher or the superintendent. Instead, that parent went right to the police department. And that did sort of bypass a protocol, but I think the parent was so alarmed that that was the initial reaction, and that's how it got reported. But that put the police department in an interesting situation. They have to then investigate. And when we first got official word of what happened, it came in a press release from the police department. So that sort of screams that there might be a criminal investigation. So we have to follow that story. But I think Sarah is so right. I think it's just a matter of what protocol was followed in questioning what the teacher did.
Listeners, we're talking to Sarah Jordan. She was a seventh grade teacher at the Gibbons Middle School in Westboro, Massachusetts. She resigned after she was suspended for showing a clip of a video from an Eminem, the rapper Eminem. And we're asking you what you make of this story. When is it okay to show middle school kids controversial material in the classroom and discuss it, when it is not? You can give us a call at 800-423-8255. That's 800-423-TALK. Also on the line is Mary Jo Kurtz. She's the editor of the Westboro Patch, an online news site. And let's go to Mark, who's calling from Pawtucket, Rhode Island. Hi, Mark.
Hello. Yes, I would like to just say real quick, I think I would like to take a shot. I'm a school teacher myself, high school, and I would like to take just a little issue with how the age of the students. I think seventh grade, again, I didn't see the curriculum. If it was edited, obviously there's certain things that were left out. But I just don't know how appropriate a seventh grade class is for a discussion, with at least with M&M.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, just to be clear, so seventh grade, we're talking about 12-year-olds, 13-year-olds, right? Right, Mark?
Yes, I do realize that they probably listen to this themselves. But like I tell a lot of students in my class, you may swear at home, but the school is not the appropriate place to do that. And so they may listen to this at home, but I don't know if seventh grade school classroom is the proper place to discuss that at seventh grade.
All right, Mark. Well, thanks. That's Mark from Pawtucket. What do you say to Mark, Sarah?
That's been the consensus, actually. Mm. Seventh grade is a very interesting age. You have kids who are so mature. They're so adult. And then you have kids who certainly are not ready for this. And as a judgment call, it all depends on the class. That's why I don't always teach this unit.
Mm.
Mark's right in that M&M is controversial. If I'd done another one of his, let's say We Made You, which is much more a critique on popular culture, it might have been more appropriate.
Yeah.
Again, though, I had told my students, well, look at what you're watching. We've done critical listening and critical viewing and taking notes all year long. Let's look at your life and take a critical look.
Hmm. Let's take another call. Rosa calling from Brockton. Hi, Rosa.
Hi, how are you?
Very well, thanks. What's on your mind?
Yeah. Thank you. A quick question for the teacher. She said she quit. I wanted to know, was that a good lesson that you would teach in your students by quitting? It's almost, in essence, you admitted guilt, as if you knew you didn't, if you know you didn't do anything wrong, to some extent, I guess you could say the seventh graders, some of them are mature enough to handle that, but some of them aren't. But I don't think quitting should have been your option. I think you should have stayed there and fought it and show these kids that when you've made a mistake, stand up and take it like an adult and learn from it.
Oh, wow, Rosa, it's a tough question. Sorry, we've got some great listeners out there who never disappoint us with their questions.
I love Rosa. It was a hard decision because I would like to stay. At the same time, there's a child there at my school whose father went to the police about me, and I want to make sure that that child is unencumbered, is protected. And I've never gone public with this parent's name. I want to make sure that the child remains safe, and it was better to back out. And Rosa, I'm also Dr. Jordan. I'm a professor at the university. When I discussed this with my principal and my superintendent, we did feel that because I had been looking at other positions, it might be a good time to move on. You're right, though. It does send the message of quitting, in a way, just walking away. Here's
right.
And I had to wrestle with that.
Hmm. Well, Rosa, thank you very much for your call, Rosa. I want to bring in one other voice into this conversation, Maureen Sigler. She is the Director of History and Social Studies Education and a lecturer in education at Brown University. She also spent 6 years teaching in the D.C. public schools, and she joins us from Providence. And great to have you, Maureen K. Sigler.
Thanks for having me.
Well, you teach teachers for a living. You've been listening to this discussion so far. What's your reaction to this situation?
Yes. Well, my first thoughts are that Ms. Jordan sounds like a very thoughtful teacher and educator, and it seems like just such a shame that this is the way the situation ended. Our summer program just began, and we have a new group of graduate students who are coming in and learning to be teachers. And we have, on the third day, I think, of our program, a professional conduct seminar. And we talk to our new teachers specifically about these kinds of things. And so we say that if you feel like you are going to take a risk with content, or if you feel that something is controversial, either don't do it to protect yourself professionally and to also protect your students socially and emotionally, or get buy-in from the principal and the families of the students first. So it seems like Ms. Jordan was trying to create a really thoughtful unit on gender bias in the media and help kids think critically about what they watch and what they interact with. I think what we encourage our new teachers to do is just to err on the side of caution and to get buy-in first from families and from administrators who can then support your decision.
What do you think, Sarah Jordan? I mean, looking back, you know, if you could sort of dial the clock back and relaunch this unit, would you have sort of gone to the parents first and say, hey?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I've done the unit before, mm-hmm. and so there was a certain amount of buy-in, but there were new administrators, mm. and the M&M video is controversial. Looking back, absolutely. I would have posted a list of videos on my website. I would have, as my assistant principal suggested, given a heads up and had alternate activities so people didn't have to do it.
But Maureen K. Sigler, there's a real balance here, isn't there? I mean, especially when you're dealing with kids of this age. I mean, mm-hmm. and this is a broad question that I'm asking, but how sure. do you know when it's okay to bring in controversial material like this? Because, mm-hmm. you know, I'm thinking of my own daughter who's in this age group, and she's at school with kids who are like little girls,
mm-hmm.
you know, and then in that same class are kids who appear all grown up. And it's this very mm-hmm. interesting time of life. And so these conversations mean such different things to different kids.
Right. And I think that's important in that developmentally, kids are really at different ranges in this particular time in their life in adolescence. And so, again, kind of erring on the side of caution. And I think it's important to talk to kids about what they're watching and help them navigate all of the media that they have access to. But I think, again, you know, getting buy-in or thinking about other curriculum that might be out there that deals with these kinds of issues around controversial topics like bias or prejudice or discrimination. There's some wonderful programs out there that have kind of already been vetted and have great reputations, things like Facing History in Ourselves, which is a wonderful curriculum program and professional development organization. So I would say either, again, kind of err on the side of caution, and because you do have that real broad range in maturity and social and emotional maturity as well as cognitive kind of maturity, and then also to use some of the resources that are out there that have kind of already been vetted and that may have a good reputation around dealing with controversial issues in the classroom.
Well, we've got a discussion going online already. I want to read one comment. G.L. Kelly writes on RadioBoston.org, some in Westboro have suggested that Sarah Jordan displayed bad judgment. I might suggest the same community had a rush to judgment. Mary Jo Kurtz, editor of the Westboro Patch, if you're still there, respond to that. Is that a sentiment you're hearing out there, that maybe there was a bit of a rush to judgment here in town?
Oh, I think a lot of people have made that comment, that there was a rush to judgment. I think this sort of comes with a community like Westboro, where you have such an involved parent base in a school district and a successful school district. With that comes a lot of opinion and a lot of feedback from parents. So I don't think the story was that surprising. I do think the rush to judgment might have been the ultimate story in the end.
Mm. Let's go to Jake, who's calling from Newton. Hi, Jake.
Hi, how you doing?
Very well.
Thanks for taking my call.
Happy to take it. Yeah, what's on your mind?
Just a quick story and then a quick comment. A teacher that I had in high school, this was about a decade ago, and this is in southeastern Massachusetts, Swansea at Case High School. He actually showed us an entire movie, the M&M movie, 8 Mile, and had done some slight edits where the language was a little rough. And this was obviously a little bit older. So anyway, there's another teacher who's certainly been taking this approach to engaging students in the medium that really they're becoming more accustomed to. Second, I kind of want to take issue with this idea that a seventh grader, an eighth grader, even a sixth grader would be unable to grasp or have the maturity to deal with a particular clip like the one that your guest has shown, or her class. I teach philosophy to underprivileged urban teens, and they're anywhere from 12 to 15 years old. And these students are very, very aware of all of this in the media, and they like talking about it. They want to talk about it. And I just think it's a great way to engage, especially that age group.
Hmm.
So that's really all I wanted to add.
All right, Jake. Well, we appreciate the call so much. And I want to pick up that point, but I want to get one more thought from Rachel, who's calling from Westboro, actually. So, Rachel, good to have you on the show. What's on your mind?
Thank you. I want to say, you know, as a parent of young children in Westboro, I was really sad to hear that Dr. Jordan had quit, because I looked forward to a time when she might teach my children, who are still too young at this point to have her. I teach media literacy to college students, and I think this is exactly the kind of education we need to have for young children who are bombarded with these incredibly negative images of women, these damaging images of both men and women. And just as we teach kids how to read and write, we need to teach them how to decode these images and how to protect themselves. And that, to echo what a previous caller said, you know, I do think that 7th and 8th graders are absorbed in this culture. I was speaking to some other parents who talked about dance class that their kids were in with this incredibly sexually explicit music for very young children. So I think there is a need, and I think that as a community we're really going to miss you. So that's my comment.
Well, thank you very much, Rachel. Sarah Jordan lit up when you said that. This must be, I don't know, this must be sort of an emotional time for you, a difficult time for you.
Yes, it is.
Yeah.
It is.
Yeah.
I'm walking away from something I love.
Yeah.
And I'm a teacher.
Maureen K. Sigler, let me just pick up on the two points that were, or the sort of one sort of broad point that those two callers made. And, you know, you've preached caution, and that sounds important and sensible, but there were two callers for not throw caution to the wind, but, you know, these are important, bold subjects that we've got to expose our kids to. So I guess my question to you is there a risk of too much caution, or is that just a characteristic of the system that we're in?
Sure. No, I mean, I absolutely agree with Dr. Jordan and the parents that these are important issues that we need to help children think about and critically engage with. And I think what a wonderful opportunity to bring in really thoughtful parents like Rachel, who was calling in, and to get them involved, because I think parents are also struggling with how to help their own children navigate this world where they are being bombarded with these images and with so much information and media at their fingertips. And so I think schools and educators could be a really nice bridge and really help families think about how to thoughtfully engage their children around these kind of topics. So certainly not to shy away, but I think, you know, it's about building buy-in and communicating as much as possible with families around these kinds of controversial issues.
Well, here's something else. Elaine Elmquist writes on Twitter, "I don't agree that teachers should err on the side of caution all the time. I learn the best lessons from controversial units."
Mm-hmm.
Christine is calling from Providence. Let's try to get her call in. I think we've got time. Hi, Christine.
Hi, I'm also an educator. I'm an elementary school reading specialist. And, you know, my fear is that we're expecting children today in all the high-stakes testing and everything like that for them to be critical thinkers and analyze and evaluate, and we can't do that without authentic material. And mm-hmm. this is, like it or not, the material that these children are exposed to. And I think that the teacher is doing the students a service by using the material that's meaningful to them to teach them the thinking skills they need for the 21st century.
All right, Christine. Well, thanks for that. And Sarah Jordan, we're just running out of time here, but last thought to you. And let me ask you, what are you doing next?
I have options. I'm really playing with this, but I wanted to tell a story that pulled in all these last readers.
Very quickly, I'm sorry.
Will I have time later?
No, okay. You can tell it very fast.
One of the first essays that a boy wrote was on his five favorite guns. And of course, I don't think anything of it. I recognize one from Red Dead Redemption, one from Halo. But of course, he's pegged as someone who might be a killer. And he's hauled off to the principal's office. And this is when it's so clear to me that if kids write about what they love and it's media, then it's up to me to know what they're writing about and teach them the writers so that they don't get labeled as killers.
Hmm. Sarah Jordan, thanks so much for coming in. We appreciate you coming in to tell your story and tell your side of the story. We really appreciate
it. Thank you so much.
That's Sarah Jordan. She taught 7th grade at the Gibbons Middle School in Westboro. Maureen K. Sigler, the Director of History and Social Studies Education and a lecturer in education at Brown University, thank you very much.
Thanks for having me.
And Mary Jo Kurtz, editor of the Westboro Patch, good to have you as well.
Thank you for having me.
We'll be back after a short break. Up next, the first female president of Amherst College on the state of higher ed. Stay with me. Stay with us. I'm Anthony Brooks with Meghna Chakrabarty. This is Radio Boston.